Good afternoon, gentlemen. I want to welcome you to the seminar entitled A Well-Rounded Ministry Life. My name is Rich McCarroll. I'm taping this on September 16th. This is not going to be a perfect taping. We're not going to do this tape and, you know, stop every once in a while and edit out all of the imperfections, because if I was there doing this seminar live, you would see my imperfections as well, and we wouldn't be editing them out of a live presentation. So we're just going to let this Zoom video proceed and run. I am coming to you via video, which is being played for you in the seminar today, but I am planning on hooking into this seminar live via Zoom at the end of this video presentation. And then we will have a post-video live Q&A where I can interact with you and you can interact with me. I apologize that we're doing this through video, that I could not be with you in person, but my wife is having a full knee replacement surgery just days before the conference, and so it's imperative that that I be here with her. You should have in front of you, I trust Daryl got these to you, a packet of information which is before you, the PowerPoint with the appropriate lines on the side for you to add notes as we move through this seminar, and I trust that each of you have that and that you are ready to move through this material. So what I'm going to do at this time is I'm going to go to a share screen, which will minimize me and maximize the PowerPoint. And if I do this right, you should right about now be seeing the full PowerPoint on the screen, and then you should be seeing me minimized at the upper right-hand corner. And this is the way that that I want to do it during this seminar, because I want to be emphasizing what you see on the screen and the material that is before you. So let's have a word of prayer, Ben, and then we'll begin. Father, we thank you for this conference that even now is going on. We thank you for the sessions that have already been and the sessions that will follow. We ask your continued blessing upon the sessions. We ask your continued blessing of grace upon the men who are attending this seminar and the other seminars, that you will just allow this to be a time of refreshment and exhortation and encouragement. We want to thank you most of all for your grace and for who we are in Christ, for the privilege we have of being involved in serving you for your glory and for the exaltation of Christ. And I pray, Father, as well, that this video will proceed well without any complications. We'll be able to be uploaded properly and displayed before these men on this appropriate afternoon as well. In our Savior's name we pray. Amen. Let me just tell you who I am a bit. You already know my name. It's Rich McCarroll. I currently, in my semi-retirement, am the director of a ministry called IMI SOS. SOS stands for Serving Other Servants, and IMI stands for Interim Ministries. I spent 45 years in church ministry, 40 of those years as senior pastor, and then I retired at the end of January 2020, and now serving with IMI, overseeing many retired pastors who serve as our active associates, and we plug them into different churches that are pastorless, and they serve there as interim pastors. What I'm sharing with you and what I've been asked to serve, or what I've been asked to share, is not only about the interim ministry at the end of an active pastoral ministry, but also an internship, which I really believe in the value of it before we enter active pastoral ministry. What I share with you, I share with you by conviction and also experience. I served an internship before my pastorate. Now, of course, I'm serving, overseeing interim pastors in an interim ministry. As a pastor, I also oversaw 5 interns. So I absolutely embrace the power of this title and the importance of this concept. A well-rounded ministry life. serving an internship prelude, and then serving X number of years of active pastoral ministry, and then serving in interim ministry as a postlude to those years of active pastoral ministry, and serving in that position as an interim for as long as God gives strength. Now, as we start viewing this, the first thing I want to view is this concept of an internship. The concept of an internship. I want to define what we mean by this term. And we're speaking here again in our period of prelude before our active ministry years. I've taken these definitions from a variety of sources, and I share them with you, but I want you to circle a particular word in each one of these short definitions. First of all, an internship is a program to provide novices in a field with apprenticeship training. Circle that word, apprenticeship. Secondly, an internship is a professional learning experience that offers meaningful, practical, circle the word practical, work related to a person's field of study or career interests. Number three, a structured, circle the word structured, structured experience that relates to a person's career goal. And number four, an opportunity for gaining work experience, circle the word experience, an important step in building a solid career. So again, I've taken these definitions from a variety of sources. All are important. Each one adds a component to this concept that we're sharing. But the four words I want you to catch are that you should have circled, excuse me, is apprenticeship, practical, structured, and experience. Apprenticeship, practical, structured, and experience. Now, having defined it, let's discuss the importance of it. When I was asked to do this seminar, I began to ask myself, do other professions require this? And if they do, what does it look like? What is its structure? So I began to do some wide and extensive search and research into a cross-section of professions. And I found some interesting things. I found, first of all, that every employment, at least to my knowledge and all of the research I did, requires or offers an internship, except the Church of Jesus Christ, which was striking to me, because this is the only profession that's dealing with a person's eternality. So what I want to do is view two of those examples, which are at opposite ends of the secular world. First of all, a physician. This comes right from their training manuals. A medical intern is a physician in training. Now notice this. I think we can learn some things from this. Who has completed medical school, has his medical degree, his or her medical degree, but does not yet have a license to practice medicine unsupervised. This is the time for practical training. There you see that definition there that I think we can learn from. Now, as I looked at this in a scope of many different countries, I found that each country has different requirements. One example, and I'm not sure what country this was. It may have been Australia, just not sure. But the doctor practices under supervision in designated hospitals in 4 6-month rotations. And I'm using this as an illustration because I really love this as the best model. 6 months in surgery, 6 months in obstetrics, 6 months in gynecology, 6 months in pediatrics. That really gives him, over the course of those 2 years, a full range of experience. In the United States, a medical internship typically lasts 1 year, transitional, and or specialty track. But I want you to notice this next sentence. Most physicians, the far majority of physicians, complete a specialty track medical residency over a period of from 2 to 7 years, depending on the specialty that they're going to be practicing in. That's a physician. Now let's move to the other end of the spectrum, the National Mortuary Board. Internships, right from their materials, last from 1 to 3 years. Now notice this. Funeral home directors, they have the following requirements for their internship. They must assist in embalming 75 bodies. They must conduct at least 75 funerals. They must arrange at least 25 funerals. And they must submit a monthly report to the mortuary board. That's why it says 1 to 3 years. All depends when they can fulfill all of these requirements. So what struck me was, so an internship is required to birth a baby and bury a body, but not in the eternal work of biblical ministry. Something's wrong with this picture. And it's maybe why too many pastors drop out after their first ministry. I had a friend some years ago who said, within the church, we can graduate on Friday, get married on Saturday, get ordained and take a church on Sunday, and quit on Monday. And in some respects, that's very true. So how about taking everything that I've just given to you and putting together this definition? I thought this through. I pulled components out of the other things that I've just shared with you. And I thought, I think this is a great understanding of what I'm trying to say here. A ministry intern is a pastor in training. It's not someone who's trying to think what they're going to do with their lives. This is someone who is called to some aspect of pastoral ministry. He's a pastor in training. He has completed their college and seminary degrees, but has not yet been ordained or licensed to practice ministry unsupervised. So this internship is a time for practical training, during which they will study and be examined for ordination. I think this is a great understanding of this time period. Gives us the basic understanding of the purpose, gives us the variableness in some areas that need to be open-ended. How long is it going to be? Well, it could be 1 year, 2 year, 3 years. But with everything else that he's going to be doing practically, he's also going to be studying, be examined, and pass an ordination council. And so I would suggest the need to embrace this as a church at large, with some principles to consider as we think through this internship. Now, these are principles that I've drawn from my own experience serving as an intern, and also my own experience in overseeing 5 interns during the course of my pastoral ministry. First of all, conduct an interview and orientation with the man before you bring him on as an intern. Make sure that you're all on the same page when it comes to expectations. Put together a manual. How many assignments is he going to have to do? Length of the intern. How many hours? How many messages will he preach? How many pastoral calls will he make? The fact that he must give a monthly report to the board. Now, some schools have these. It's already done, and you can use them. I oversaw an intern from Dallas Seminary. They sent me a manual to use. I also oversaw one from Calvary University. They sent me a manual to use. And in fact, in both of those cases, I had to submit reports back to the seminary and the college. Now, obviously, you're going to adapt some of these expectations if the man is single or married, involving his wife into some things and stressing some other things just for him. Number two, make sure that in an internship you assign actual ministry activities. Don't assign theoretical papers. He already has that. He's already finished his ministry. He has his seminary degree, his college degree. This is where you want to create a realistic ministry experience. The intern needs to feel what I call the flow of ministry. Assign activities that are valuable to both the intern and the church. Have them do a few hours of administration, hospital calling, sermon prep, sermon delivery, Bible studies, assisting you in funerals. And do this across age groups. I had one man share with me that he had an intern come in and he assigned the intern 2 specific responsibilities. to oversee the single adult ministry and oversee the senior adult ministry, and then to do a lot of practical things in between, but specifically responsible for those two. That is a good illustration of seeing him across the age, the spectrum of different age groups, and also across all situations of sheep care, including emergencies. When an emergency comes up, bring him with you and let him see that. Number three, full-time is probably the best, but a lot of churches can't do this financially. Finances are going to come into play in this. But I try to say at least, probably 25 to 30 hours could do that, that we did is we provided housing. In one situation, we provided it in an old parsonage that the church wasn't using anymore. In another case, we provided housing in a missionary home. In another case, someone in the church had a separate apartment that they were not using, and it was a private little apartment, and we used that. And then instead of paying, we took love offerings, we did food showers. Some people in the church gave gas cards, and also as well as gave him a little stipend. He may also need to get a part-time job while he's serving this internship. Again, some of this is going to depend on whether he's single or married. Number four, allow for freedom of individual expression and insights in areas of personal preference. This is absolutely important. This must be granted. I want you to remember, you are developing him, not cloning you. You are developing him, not cloning you. He's going to have a different way of delivering a sermon. He is going to maybe come to some different conclusions than you. Now, we're not talking doctrine, but for instance, Genesis chapter 6. Were they fallen angels? Were they mighty warriors that intermarried with the women? Or the book of Acts, was Simon the sorcerer truly saved? Or was he made a false profession? Those are things that he has to develop himself. You're there to guide him, not overrule. You're also there at times to allow him to fail and then to help him in that failure, to come back and give him the advice that the Apostle Paul gives us. You know, might have been legal, but was that really prudent to do or say? Was that illustration really wise to use? Again, you're developing a man for future ministry. You're not cloning yourself. You've got to give some freedom there. Number five, regular staff team meetings for encouragement and exhortation. Absolutely important. Do this weekly. Have them sit in on staff meetings if you have other staff. Pray, share, discuss, and be an encouragement to him during those tough times in ministry. Assign outside reading and CEUs, continuing education units for learning. Now, again, don't overtax him. He already has the vast majority of his schooling. That's done. But do this in a practical way. There are hospitals in your area. There are online classes. There are counseling centers. And if you see a deficiency in some area of his ministry or his learning or his knowledge, assign a 4-week CEO where he's taken maybe a class a week. I did this continually through all of my years of pastoral ministry. And I took continuing education units through seminaries. I took continuing education units through hospitals, through a mental health facility here in Grand Rapids when I needed to know some real insights into abuse and the effects of abuse upon someone who had been abused as a child. So that's what I mean by that. Again, everything is gearing toward ministry. And then public encouragement and appreciation should be displayed. Don't be threatened by this intern. Be confident in who you are. Be confident in your ministry and display that confidence to him and for him before others. When I served in my internship, we used to have a joke. The senior pastor used to say, if it was up to Rich, I think I'd be sitting there and he'd be preaching every Sunday. And everybody laughed. He was the man who really displayed to me incredible confidence in himself and his giftedness and in his ministry. That man trained 7 interns over the course of a 2 or 3 year period. 7 interns, one at a time, over about 20 years. Every one of us went on into pastoral ministry. So again, as we summarize, propose for all, the purpose of all of this is not to try out a career. The calling has been determined. This is preparation. But it can, during this internship, point out flaws that would bring correction or adjustment in the place of serving that calling. You might have a man who finds out he's not equipped to be a senior pastor, but he's going to serve as an assistant pastor. Or maybe one that is going to become a seminary professor or a counselor. I think of two men as I conclude our thoughts here on internship. I think of Timothy and Titus. Titus was older than Timothy, sure. But I think they can both tell us some things, just as we see an overview of their life. Timothy was a teenager when he met Paul. He was Paul's son in the faith, half Jewish, half Greek. He watched Paul. He observed Paul. He finally joined Paul on Paul's second journey. And if you look at this pattern, Paul entrusted Timothy with more and more and more responsibility. It's a great picture. We don't have time to look at it all. But it's almost as if Timothy served a 13-year internship at Paul's side. And wow, when Paul cut him loose, what a powerful job Timothy did in leading and serving and pastoring the Ephesian church. Wow. Or then there's Titus. He was older. He also became a son in the faith to Paul. He was, of course, a full-blooded Greek, but he also learned from Paul, and he ministered with Paul. Paul spoke of him as an example even to other believers. And what a powerful ministry Titus did when Paul cut him loose on the Isle of Crete as he established churches and developed boards and established eldership in all of those churches. Different personalities, but mentored and cut loose to serve the Lord. Importance of internship. And then that person going into active ministry, pastoral ministry. Now we come to interims. Here's the postlude. Here's the postlude. I have served the Lord in active pastoral ministry for many years, and I love to preach. I love to teach. I love people. I love sheep care. But the full weight of the whole church 24/7 has just become a bit too much. I'm middle 60s. I'm late 60s. I'm 70s. The weight on my shoulders is just too much. Do I just quit? No. I mean, I still want to preach. I still love people. I still want to teach. What do I do? Well, I think this is when we look at the postman. The active ministry years of our pastoring conclude, and we go into an interim period where we begin to serve as an interim pastor. An interim pastor is a retired or semi-retired pastor who brings many valuable assets to a church by way of experience, by way of expertise, in a large cross-section of ministry. He's experienced in pastoral care. He's experienced in leadership. That becomes invaluable to a local church that is facing a vulnerable time of transition from one settled pastor to another. And therefore, this time between pastors for a church can be a time of unity and healing and blessing. This is our brochure. You're going to see our contact information at the end of the seminar, but this is our brochure that we'll be glad to send to you on IMI SOS International. We have many, many, many retired men. Some are even in their mid-80s. They could never carry the 24/7 weight of a church. But boy, they can preach, they can teach, they can love people, they can advise a board freed from all of the weight of their problems or a church's problems, because when you're an interim pastor, though you give advice on problems that are in that church you're serving as an interim, That's not your church. That is their church. And the lay leaders need to respond to your advice and handle those issues and problems. And so here they are, well into their 70s and some 80s, where they're still serving the Lord and doing an invaluable ministry. We are serving churches where pastors died very suddenly. The church called us and basically said, help. We were able to put an interim in there to stabilize the church. We're serving churches where after 30 years, a very beloved pastor retired. And we have an interim in there to basically keep the church from panicking and calling the new pastor too quick and making a mistake and helping that church get over the love of their previous beloved pastor and prepare and accept a new pastor. All sorts of situations across the board that we're serving with. And we're putting into these situations experienced, retired men who have valuable assets of experience and expertise and can give pastoral care and leadership to that church at a very vulnerable time when they are shepherdless, moving from one settled pastor to another. We had one of the wives of one of our associates say this, being a pastor is like a father, but being an interim is like a grandfather. I like that analogy. When you're a father, yeah, you're pastoring a church. You have to discipline that church like a father does. You got to deal with a lot of garbage that comes along in that church. But when you're a grandfather, as I do with my five grandkids, you can just love on them. You just love the people. And yeah, you may share advice to your kids, but that's up to your kids to either take or not take the advice. You pray for your grandkids, but the basic thing is you just love them and you're there for them. That's a great analogy. Now, this is, a great definition that we've come up with as a ministry, but question is, do we see this in the Word of God? I think we do. And let me take you to a couple of texts. The first one, there are biblical examples of those who were told not to retire. The most prominent one is, of course, Joshua. He was old. The Lord said to him, you are now very old. There are still very large areas of land to be taken over. Joshua 13. In other words, you're old, but you're not quitting. Joshua was between 85 and 100 years old. God still had work for Joshua to do. Joshua had much to offer in wisdom and experience and commitment and leadership and even more. And the Lord said, no, you're not going to retire. But to use this as the only model, I think, is a mistake. Because we end up then with men who should have retired and been of great assistance to churches as interims, dying or burning out, and the last X number of years of their ministry are bad years and discouraging years for them. Doesn't have to be that way. This was a unique case where Joshua was told don't retire. But let's look at another text, and this has a much broader appeal. Biblical examples where retirement from active leadership is mandated. Numbers chapter 8, the Lord said to Moses, this applies to the Levites. Men 25 years old or more shall come to take part in the work at the tent of meeting. But at the age of 50, they must retire from their, notice please, regular service. That is a key. They must retire from their regular service and work, now don't lose the context here, work their regular service no longer. Next verse. But notice, they may assist their brothers in performing their duties at the tent of meeting. But they themselves must not do the work alone. This then is how you are to assign the responsibilities of the Levites. This is a great text. This is a great text. It is full of good stuff. I want to remind you that the Levites were the ones in leadership. They served God in doing much of the work in and around the tabernacle or the tent of meeting, the temple. And they were obviously Numbers chapter 8 just told us they were obviously allowed to serve from age 25 to 50. Though I quickly say, I think in 1 Chronicles chapter 23, King David reduced the age for entering priestly service from 25 to 20. I think that's key. He reduced the age from 25 to 20, but he did not increase the age of retirement. They were still to retire at 50. Now, the scripture's silent as to why they needed to retire at 50, but I think we can draw some parallels without doing any injury to the text or to the context. Again, I call your attention back to verse 26, something that I noted with you. They were not told to completely stop serving. They were told to become assistants to the younger Levites. Regular service was to become occasional service. And this even happens sometimes with our interims. We've had three or four times where we put an interim pastor into a church and they have faithfully served that church as an interim, and then the church calls a new senior pastor. But the church leadership comes back to us and says, you know, we've grown to trust this interim, and this new pastor we've just called, he's young, he's coming out of college or seminary, or he's coming out of being an assistant pastor, and this is the first senior pastorate he's ever served in. Can we have your interim stay on for a few months just to sort of serve with him and help him and to guide him through this transition, mentor him? Absolutely. And so we enter an agreement with that. They've grown to trust the interim, and that interim can help them trust the man who's coming in. So I think there's some mentoring here. Number two, could the above picture a mentoring relationship? Can you just imagine this? Just picture this in your mind. Levites with 25 years of wisdom and experience are now assisting and training the younger Levites who were just starting out in ministry. What a tremendous, tremendous mentoring, again, relationship. Number three, setting up the tabernacle with the furnishings as well as lifting the sacrificial animals was strenuous work. Just picture that. Letting the younger men carry the load. Now, you might quickly say, ah, lifting the sacrificial animals, carry the load. No pun intended. No, I intend a pun there. I absolutely do. Pun is intended. Letting the younger men carry the load of lifting those sacrificial animals on the altar could have been a way of identifying leadership in the younger men and relieving the older men from the strain. That is a marvelous picture of one who continues to serve the Lord, but at a reduced level, free from that 24-hour stress and strain, free from the heavy work of ministry, and yet there to assist younger men who are coming up into ministry and identifying and helping churches identify leadership qualities in candidates that are candidating for the senior pastor and are even younger men within their church. Now, this is what I want each of us to see. I think the interim, the way we do the interim in this ministry, and the way others do interim, combines both of these biblical narratives. I think it combines Joshua and it combines the Levites. You're allowing experienced pastors to retire from the daily stresses of carrying a flock while still allowing for continued service to the Lord. So you have a wise shepherd protecting and preparing a flock to call a younger shepherd. That is a great picture of what an interim does. He keeps the church from panicking. He keeps the church from making a hurried decision because we have to find a pastor and end up making a mistake. We just worked with a church that had a pastor retire after 30 years of ministry. They called a new pastor within 8 months. This guy was not a fit. And 18 months later, they fired him. And we went in and we taught a seminar. We have developed as a ministry a 2-hour seminar where we go in and teach church leadership on calling your next pastor, how to call your next pastor, where to look for your next pastor, how to prepare your church to properly call the next pastor, how not to make a mistake and call a man too quickly. And we go into many churches and we teach leadership in those churches through this two and a half hour seminar. It literally walks a church leadership through step by step by step, developing a vision statement. How do we vision ourselves for the next 10 years? What kind of pastor are we looking for? Puts together a sort of search profile of the man they're looking for. That whole process, men, takes probably 10 to 11 to 12 months, depending on how long the previous pastor has been there. And so our interim can be in there and he's marrying and he's burying and he's giving consistency in the pulpit ministry, advising the board, holding their hand, leading them as they go through this process. When you have a pastor who has retired after 30 or 40 years, you have people in leadership and people in the church who never called a pastor before. So to have an experienced interim in there to hold their hand and guide them through the process is incredibly important. A wise shepherd protecting and preparing a flock to call a younger shepherd. We have put together in that 2-hour seminar, we have some practices that we encourage our pastors to do by way of concise statements. These seven statements come from, if you notice the lower right-hand corner, TSR, that is Tom Rainer, T-H-O-M, Tom Rainer, R-A-I-N-O-R, with LifeWay. Tom has a ministry that we link to through our website that is a data-based search ministry that is very helpful if you're looking for different information and search results from surveys with churches. And I just appreciated Tom's quick seven statements on the practices of effective interim pastors. Intentionally prays for the church daily, just as a pastor would. Pastor's ministry starts with prayer, so does an interim. Demonstrates an abundance of love. An interim's ministry should be marked by love. Share your love with them. Tell them how you love them and show them that love. A lot of times, a church that has lost a pastor, they're coming out of a great hurt. Love them. Understands the context and needs of the church. An interim works with the church within its context and leads to meet the needs of that church. Now, we identify some of those needs, and we keep our interims from being overtaxed because we actually have signed agreements between churches and us, which then we pass on to our interim. So we make sure, number three, that our interim is not overtaxed in that. Number four, don't kick the can. If an interim goes in there and sees a decision that needs to be made so that the incoming pastor doesn't have to handle this situation, handle it. Don't just kick it on down to the next pastor. Let the next pastor come in fully focused on just building trust and loving the people. Number five, has a clear, written, mutually agreed expectations of the interim pastor's role. Identify what those are on the front end. Again, we do that through agreements that we sign with a church. We actually sign with a church a contract between us and that church, and then we assign a man to that church who is in agreement with those agreed expectations. Sometimes a church wants a full-time interim. Sometimes a half-time, sometimes they just want a Sunday interim. And so we talk that out and we delineate all of the expectations before we assign an interim to that church. But this is important to do. Number six, helps the staff work through the interim time. Pastoral staff is in limbo. They don't know if the next pastor is going to keep them on staff or fire them all. So lead the staff, love the staff, unify the staff. Number seven, give significant time to sermon prep. Always a temptation just to recycle sermons from your years of a pastor or previous interims. But every church and every context is different. And while the bones of our sermons will stay the same, the deep research may stay the same, make sure that you put fresh meat on those bones in that specific context you are serving in as interim. And then Tom also has seven ways interim pastors can fail churches. And again, some of these pertain to us. Some of them don't, because we already have safeguards built into our ministry where we protect our interims. But this would just be for someone who was serving an interim on their own. You can fail a church by failing to communicate often and clearly, just being an absent interim. You know, you show up on Sunday, preach a sermon, and disappear. Now, again, we have safeguards for that. Number two, we don't ever believe in allowing this to happen. In fact, we have right in our agreement with the church that the interim candidate or the interim pastor cannot, capitalize, be a candidate for the senior pastor. Cannot. It's a violation of our contracted agreement with the church. The reason we're so strong on that is if the interim becomes a candidate to be the next senior pastor of the church, the interim will lose his objectivity in handling some problems that need to be handled. And in the loss of his objectivity, he'll begin to candidate for that next senior pastor position. That is a disaster for the church. Number three, hangs around the church after the interim is complete. Now, be there for the installation of the new pastor, and they're going to have you come back probably for anniversaries and special occasions. But I think you all know what this would mean. This would mean influencing the church after you've done there. While you're serving there, aligning with a power group in the church, not good. Interim's concern is the health of the church and handing it off well to the next pastor. Or number five, an interim beats up the church for a failed pass. Look, the church you're serving in interim, they need to be loved. They're probably coming out, as I said before, a hurt of some type. Love them. Move the church toward a new future. Don't just keep dragging up the past. Number six, acts without an understanding of the inner workings of the church. Every church is different. Learn the polity. Learn the policies of the church. We also have an instruction that all of our interims are to work within the polity and policies of that church. For instance, we work with fundamentally doctrinally sound churches, but some are Baptist. The elder is the pastor, and they have deacons. Some are Bible churches, community churches, where they have elders and deacons. Some have elders, deacons, trustees. Some have, we tell our interim, you go in there, you get to know the polity and policies, and you work within the understanding of that church. You're not there to change the church. You're there to minister to the church, deal with difficult situations that need to be dealt with, and prepare them to call their next pastor. And then an attempt to push an individual agenda through the church just cannot happen. You can give advice. Let the church decide on the steps they need to take. You can provide options, but don't be dogmatic. It's not your agenda or your ideas. You want to share advice, share options, but let the lay leadership of that church and the congregation decide where they're going and the agenda they want to establish over the next 10 years. And that is going to impact the type of pastor they're going to call as their next senior pastor. And you're helping them in that process. So a well-rounded ministry life, absolutely convinced of this, begins with an internship. Mine was just over 2 years. And then active pastoral ministry, and then serving as an interim ministry, postlude to your active pastoral ministry. I like to say that internship, we gain from others. Active pastoral ministry, we serve others. Interim ministry, we give to others. And I think that truly is a well-rounded ministry life that will allow you to serve the Lord faithfully for many years for the glory of God, for the exaltation of Christ. Let me just again remind you of our ministry. It's IMISOS. If we can be of any assistance to you, you have my personal email there as well as the ministry email. You have my personal cell phone number there You can text or call. You can go online. IMISOS International. We're located in Hudsonville, Michigan, and see our website. Again, we're a ministry that responds when a church sends an SOS. We need help. We respond in providing to them an interim pastor. We talk through with that church responsibilities, length of the interim. Is it going to be full-time, half-time, weekend only? We talk through remuneration, compensation for the interim. We handle all of that in the office so that then when we turn around and assign a man to go in there, the man's in agreement with the expectations, the compensation, the length of time, and the type of interim, and he can go in there and be a great blessing and a great help to that church. So I'm going to, at this time, hopefully zoom in if Daryl has everything set up or somebody there has everything set up at this time. I'm going to transition from video to Zoom, and we're going to go live, and we're going to have a few questions for a Q&A time. Trust, this has been a blessing. We can serve you, serve your church. If any other questions, make sure you contact us. Hold on. Stay there. In just a few minutes, we go live, Lord willing. God bless. And you each had a copy of the packet to follow along, correct?
Yes.
Good. Good.
So does anyone, do you want to facilitate this time, or do you want me to just ask for them?
Just throw it open for questions. You may want to repeat them to make sure I hear them right.
Okay.
But sure. Any questions, any clarifications?
Anybody have a question? Clarification. I really appreciate the internship. There was a lot of the components that we used here at DBC, myself and Pastor Oxer. That was very helpful. Thank you for that. That was great.
But
I appreciate the clarification between internship and interim.
Yeah.
Never really studied that carefully on those two words.
Do you hear Larry?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, that's exactly right. And it speaks about obviously two different type of men. You know, one is just starting out, one is retiring. And, that's why I really like to keep those phrases and those concepts separate. But I think they're both vitally important, to the full use of our gifts that God's given to us and also for the full benefit of the church. So many times I hear older pastors that will say, friends of mine that will say, you know, getting old, the 24/7 stress, the 24/7 strain is really getting to me, but I feel that if I quit, I'm going to be letting the Lord down. He's gifted me. I think ministry was a life call, and we're able to come alongside and say, look, absolutely, keep serving with your gifts, but become an interim and help churches and help young people in that church and work with even younger staff in that church who may be coming up in that church. And that's why I believe in both concepts, absolutely, for a ministry that is well-rounded and fulfilling. I truly do. I learned more. I was just sharing with a man last night for an hour on the phone who is considering a move, a couple of thousand mile move to go to a church and to serve in an internship for 2 years with the current senior pastor. And this man has all of his training done. And I told him just either the last night or the night before, I said, I learned more in my 2 year internship practically than I did in all of my years of schooling. And when I stepped into my first senior pastorate, someone died a couple of weeks into my first pastorate. And I heard comments from people that said, boy, we just can't believe that's your first funeral. Well, it wasn't my first funeral. It probably was my 12th funeral. Because I had assisted the senior pastor in all of the funerals when I was an intern. And then I went through the same feeling, you know, 45 years in the senior pastorate and I started thinking, boy, you know, the strain and the stress and the 24/7 on call for emergencies, no matter. We had a full-time visitation pastor, but there's instances where people want the senior pastor, period. And it just began to take a toll on my health, just how I started thinking and feeling toward ministry. And then you're going through crisis times in the church, even with staff and with people and changes that some people love and some people don't. We've all gone through it. And a year ago, when I stepped down after 45 years and stepped into this position with IMI, I will tell you, men, I feel totally fulfilled. I am preaching every Sunday that I want to be, helping churches that are pastorless going in and being able to say, relax, IMI is here. I love talking to board men, board members, and then plugging one of our associates into a church as an interim and just seeing how that church relaxes. Because now they have an interim and they're not in a panic about calling their next pastor. It's been very, very fulfilling. And I do not miss being in that position of senior pastor, because everything I was doing that truly I loved as part of ministry, I'm still doing. And that's what all of our interims say. Last week, we just had our annual day of training, and we bring together all of our men. Had about 20 in the room and had about 10 over Zoom, all of our active guys that could join with us. And we just had a great day. We go through different aspects of training, how to guide a church through doing a church assessment, how to guide a church through forming a vision statement. We just teach all of our guys that in this annual training time. And every single one of our men that are there, that were there in attendance physically or on Zoom, just said, I'm so grateful that I can still use my gifts, my pastoral gifts, and yet be helping churches who truly want help and need help. And you don't have to force your advice onto a church. They want your advice. And that I'm so thankful that I can continue to preach Sunday after Sunday. So I really believe it's the best of both worlds. I do. I believe it's the best of both worlds.
Anybody else?
And if we can answer any more questions or you need any more information, you saw that last slide, which is our contact info. And that email address is my personal email address. That's not the ministry email. And that cell phone is my personal email, is my personal cell phone. That's not the ministry phone number. Now, the web address, that goes to the ministry. That goes to the office administrator. She sorts all that through. But that actual AOL email and that phone number, that cell phone, that's my personal you reach me directly. You can shoot me a text to my cell phone or an email to my personal email, and I'll get back with you.
Got a question.
Hey, Rich, John Clark here. I had a question on the intern. Hi, how are you?
Hey, by the way, I think you're filling in for me in the plenary, right?
I think so.
Because of my wife. Thank you, John. God bless.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity.
You'll do a better job than I would have done anyway. Go ahead.
A question for you on the internship side of the house. I know you all provide training, the two-hour seminar you mentioned about preparing a church to call their next pastor. Do you guys do any training in terms of preparing a church to be an internship house that replicates and duplicates? That's question number one. And if you don't, do you have some material you can recommend that has some good ideas? And then question number two was actually, let's do question number one. I lost question number two as I was asking that.
Sorry. I want you to know that I am talking right now with about three or four friends of mine, some direct ministries and some are churches. By the way, Dennis is one of them. And we are all engaging on how to come up with a syllabus that links fundamental, evangelical, dispensational, free gospel churches together on a syllabus to follow to prepare a church to welcome and teach an internship. I'm going to tell you, there's nothing out there except through your schools. When we had two interns from Dallas Seminary, they sent us excellent material. Calvary Bible College did three with Calvary. Calvary sent an entire notebook that was incredibly helpful. Calvary out of Kansas City. It basically was step by step. But obviously, literally what I put here is drawn from some of that material as well as my own personal experiences. And what I did to prepare the church the first time we did this, well, not even the first time, every time we've done this, because you always have changeover. You have new people that have joined the church and the church has grown and they're wondering, what is this internship all about? I basically took the stuff that was the first part of this seminar and I shared it with the church body on a Sunday night and said, this is what we're looking at doing. And then I added at the end of that material, I added a Bible study devotional from Timothy, really honing in on Paul's relationship to Timothy and Timothy's relationship to Paul. And use that as like the Sunday night Bible study. So the first part was really a practicality of the internship. It was really the first half of this. The second part was really a biblical proof of this is the relationship that Paul had, especially with Timothy. And then asking the church to embrace that and accept it. And when I was done speaking, then we had the chairman of the deacon board get up and say, this is how we're going to help the intern. The elders have already approved this and they gave it to us to look at the logistics. The first intern we had in my last pastorate, we didn't have a place for him to stay. So the chairman of the deacon board got up and he said, we have a couple in the church that have that have an apartment in their lower level. The intern is going to live there free of charge. We're thankful for that. We also have another family in this church, and he said who it was. He owns a business. Our intern's going to be working for him 15 hours a week. So he's going to be given 25 hours to the church, 15 hours to the job. And then every quarter, we're going to take a food shower and a love offering. Then we're going to give it to him. And so that was explained. The second time we had an intern, we had a vacant house. We had the former parsonage that was now vacant. We had different members of the pastoral staff that as they moved into the area to accept a position with us would live in that house for a short time until they bought their own. Well, we called the second intern, did the same pattern, followed the same pattern, shared the same stuff. Chairman of the deacon board got up and he said, folks, we now have a house. Now here's the issue. We need this furniture in the house and we need a refrigerator in the house. So call me this week if you have an extra furniture in your garage, if you have an extra couch, you've got some stuff, you know, some overstuffed chairs. We want to put some good furniture in there that the intern can use because the house never came furnished. And in 2 weeks on Saturday, we're going to meet here at the church. We're going to move the stuff into the house. And then the chairman of the deacon said, and because this is our second intern, because the first intern was so successful, and John, that's the key. Once the church sees a success, they love this. And he said, because the first intern was so successful, and he's now out in his own ministry, we've seen the value of this. We began to set aside some money every year after that first intern left. So for the last 3 years, 3.5 years, we've set aside some money every year. So this intern is literally going to be with us 30 to 35 hours a week, and we can pay him X number of dollars. I just want you to know that. And then we're going to supplement that in some other ways that we're going to tell you as we move through this. But we will tell you this, folks, he is going to have no housing allowance, no housing expenses, because living in a church-owned house, we're going to cover all of his expenses.
Mm-hmm. What's the geographical coverage of your ministry? Is it covering the whole United States or just the Midwest?
For our interims,
for like pastors that are looking for interns?
Yeah, we have about 30 active associates who we plug into interim pastors. That's what we call them because they're legally with us. They're legally, they're employees of IMISOS as a Michigan nonprofit, so they're covered with workman's comp, liability insurance. They can claim housing allowance. We're a 501c3. They can take medical expenses off pre-tax, so they, it's very beneficial tax-wise. Also, because we're a 501c3, people can give gifts to our men. So we have some men who retired maybe at 62, 63, and they're not on Social Security yet, but they were over 40 years in the pastorate, and they retired. But the church they retired from is supporting them every month, or family members or friends are supporting them as you would support a missionary. That's why we call them our associates. We have as far west as Salt Lake City. We currently have two associates, soon to have a third associate in Utah from Salt Lake City East. And the farthest east we go is we have an associate in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. The majority of our associates are Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, and Ohio, but that's the full scope that we go with how our men are spread out. Then we have about 10 or 15 associates who are inactive. They're in their middle 80s. They can no longer preach because of health conditions or age. They can no longer serve as interims. Some of them are caring for wives who have been diagnosed with Alzheimer's or terminal illnesses, and they're full-time caring for their wives. But here's the beauty of being part of IMI as a 501c3. They have supporters who continue to support them. And so once you're approved with IMI as a full associate, just as a missionary, there are supporters who continue to support them, even though they are no longer serving because of health or age or issues in caring for their wives. And so they stay with us as an associate for legal and financial purposes and tax purposes, but they fall under the category of inactive associates. And as I said, we have about 10 or 15 that probably fall into that category.
Thank you.
All right. Rich, you want to close us with a word of prayer?
Absolutely. Father, thank you. Thank you for this tremendous annual conference there in Duluth. Thank you for the vision that you've given to Dennis and the leadership there of the church and the people of the church, the way they just minister to these attenders with such love and acceptance. Father, I thank you for these who have attended this seminar, be it concerned and wanting to know more about the internship, or looking at the possibilities of interim. Guide them, give the discernment that that you would have for them as they continue to glorify you and lift up Christ in their ministry, and continue to bless this conference. In our Savior's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for your well out. Thanks for all the effort you put into that. It was excellent.
Absolutely. God bless, Poochie. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. We'll see
bye-bye.
You.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.